Welcome to Truth for Today. We continue our series on the Holy Spirit of God with Geoffrey Brett speaking on Pentecost.
The holiday that we have this Spring Bank holiday weekend is the celebration of the wonderful event that is recorded in Acts chapter 2. When the Holy Spirit came down and indwelt the company of Christian believers. As the first verse of that chapter tells us, it was at the time of the Jewish Feast of Pentecost, or as it can also be called, the Feast of Weeks. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. The next verses tell us what happened on that day. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. We often think about the time when the Son of God came into this world and was born of a virgin at Bethlehem. This was the most wonderful event that had ever happened in the world's history, when its creator became a man and God dwelt among us. It is equally right that we think about the time that the Holy Spirit came down, not to become a man, but to dwell in the believers. The Holy Spirit is one in the Godhead, just as the Son and the Father. And we must not think for one moment that he is a lesser person than the Son of God or the Father. It will help us to understand what the descent of the Holy Spirit means if we think for a while about the Old Testament feasts of Jehovah. We read about these seven feasts in the 23rd chapter of Leviticus. We shall think about three of these. Firstly, the Passover in verse 5. In the 14th day of the first month, at even, is the Lord's Passover. Then in verse 10, when ye come into the land which I give unto you, and shall reap the harvest thereof, ye shall bring a sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest unto the priest, and he shall wave the sheaf before the Lord. And then in verses 15 and 16, and ye shall count unto you from the morrow after the Sabbath, from the day that ye brought the sheaf of the wave offering, seven Sabbaths shall be complete. Even unto the morrow after the seventh Sabbath shall ye number 50 days, and ye shall offer a new meal offering unto the Lord. Pentecost actually means 50 days. The children of Israel had to count from the Feast of First Fruits 50 days, that is, seven Sabbaths, or weeks, and one day. These three feasts that we have read about typify the death of the Lord Jesus, his resurrection, and then the descent of the Holy Spirit. We have the right to apply these Old Testament pictures to the Christian today, because they are used in a spiritual way in the New Testament. For example, the Apostle Paul, in his first letter to the Corinthians, in chapter 5, verse 7, says, "For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us." Then in that wonderful chapter 15, where the resurrection of Christ is expounded, he says in verse 23, "Christ the firstfruits, afterward, they that are Christ's at his coming." The Passover was the beginning of the Jewish year. In Exodus chapter 12, verse 2, we read, "This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you." The nation of Israel did not begin then, but their relation to Jehovah as a redeemed people did. God started with a picture of the death of Christ. We also have to realize that we can have no relation with God at all except by the death of the Lord Jesus. He was that true paschal lamb provided by God. Even as John the Baptist said in John chapter 1, verse 29, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Equally important as the death of the Lord Jesus is his resurrection. Going to that 15th chapter of Corinthians again, in verse 17 we read, "And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins." Sadly, there are those who deny the resurrection of the Lord Jesus and call it a myth. These persons cannot be Christians. The resurrection of Christ is a cornerstone of Christianity. Without it, everything falls down. Likewise, without the descent of the Holy Spirit, there can be no power in the Christian life and no church. The Holy Spirit is the life and power of the church today. Without it, it is dead. So the Passover speaks of the death of the Lord Jesus, which we should remember every Lord's Day. It is the basis of our relationship with God. Then 3 days after this, we have the Feast of First Fruits, which speaks of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. The idea of first fruits in Scripture is very interesting. In Old Testament days, the priest went into the field at the time of barley harvest, before any of the harvest was cut, and gathered one sheaf. This was presented to God as a wave offering. That one sheaf was the same as all the rest of the harvest. The New Testament teaching behind this is, the Lord Jesus, as raised from among the dead, was the beginning of a new harvest for God. Remember his words in John chapter 12, verse 24. "Except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit." We have already thought of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 23, "Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ's at his coming." The Lord Jesus, when he was raised from the dead, became the beginning of something that was completely new. Every believer has a part in this. His death and resurrection has given us who believe a new life and nature, which is the same as his own. Then we come to Pentecost. After the Lord Jesus was raised from among the dead, he was on earth for 40 days. Scripture records for us the occasions when he appeared to his disciples. Then he was taken up into heaven, as recorded in the last chapter of Luke's Gospel and the first chapter of Acts. Then we have a gap of 10 days. So the full 50 days are counted. We must understand the significance of 50 days and not 7 weeks. The 50 days were counted from the Sabbath of that first week. It was the last day of the Jewish week. This would correspond to our Saturday. 7 weeks and 1 day would bring us to the first day of a new week. This in the New Testament is called the Lord's Day. It was also the 8th day of the Jewish week, which we occasionally read of in the Old Testament, for instance in Leviticus chapter 23, concerning the Feast of Tabernacles, which was the last feast. We understand that the 8th day brings in something new. The day of Pentecost brought in something completely new, something that had never been on earth before. The Holy Spirit came down and dwelt in men, so bringing about the church, which never existed until that moment. The Lord Jesus had spoken to his disciples about this event in John's Gospel, chapters 14 to 16. The detail of which we cannot go into other than to note a few comments. These chapters were dealt with more fully last week. In chapter 14, verse 16 to 18, we read, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you for ever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. The Lord Jesus warned his disciples that he was going to leave them. He was going back to his Father as a man, but he was not going to leave them like orphans. The Father would send down the Holy Spirit, who would be to them all that the Lord Jesus had been when he was with them. And not only so, he would abide in them. The Lord Jesus had been with his disciples, but he could not be in them when he was a man here. But the Spirit was to be in them, and that forever. In the power of the Holy Spirit, they would do even greater works than he had done, as verse 12 says, "He that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father." In verses 26 and 27 he says, "The Holy Ghost, when the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you." And then further on in chapter 16, verse 7, "Nevertheless I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send him unto you." It may seem hard for us to understand that the disciples would be better off after he went away, but it is so. And in verse 13 and 14, he begins to explain this by telling them what the Holy Spirit would do when he came. "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you." How often during the lifetime of the Lord Jesus, his disciples did not understand that the things he said and made so many mistakes. What a contrast when we come to the Acts to see those same men, so bold and so powerful in their witness. The Spirit of God brought to their remembrance everything that Jesus had taught them and gave them the power to understand it. What a change came into their lives when the Holy Spirit indwelt them. Also, they bore witness to the Lord's resurrection and that he was alive at God's right hand. They could not possibly know this apart from the testimony of the Holy Spirit. We could not know anything at all about where Jesus is and what he has won for us in the presence of God, were it not for the Holy Spirit making these things real in our lives. If we go back to Leviticus chapter 23, we read in verses 16 and 17, "And ye shall offer a new meat offering unto the Lord. Ye shall bring out of your habitations 2 wave loaves of 2 tenth deals. They shall be of fine flour. They shall be baken with leaven. They are the first fruits unto the Lord." Earlier in verse 13, we read about the offering of first fruits. "And the meat offering thereof shall be 2 tenth deals of fine flour, mingled with oil, an offering made by fire unto the Lord for a sweet savour." This verse refers to the Lord Jesus Christ. But verse 23 refers to that company we have read about in Acts chapter 2. We must notice the difference between the two meat offerings. When it spoke of the Lord Jesus, it was fine flour mingled with oil, and it was a sweet savour to the Lord. At his birth, he was conceived of the Holy Spirit, and during his life he was anointed with the Holy Spirit. He always did everything that was pleasing to his Father in his life. He was always a sweet savour to God. But when we read of the new meat offering on the day of Pentecost, there were two loaves. They were of fine flour, but not mingled with oil, and they were made with leaven. In the fine flour we see that they had the same life as the Lord Jesus. But in the leaven, which is always a picture of evil in the Scripture, we see that the flesh was in them, and so they could fail. Moreover, there were two loaves, not one. The Church of God is composed of Jews and Gentiles. They were brought together to be a new company. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13, "For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit." They were all partakers of the same Spirit, so all social and national differences disappeared. Unfortunately, there is an error abroad today that talks of a fresh baptism of the Spirit and the need of a new experience in our lives. Scripture speaks only of one baptism of the Holy Spirit, and that took place on the day of Pentecost. Since then, that same Holy Spirit has indwelt every believer on the Lord Jesus, and so they have a part in what the Spirit formed on that day, which is the Church of God. We must distinguish between our profession when we were baptized and the gift of the Holy Spirit. Baptism is what we do. The gift of the Holy Spirit is what God has done. We do not come into the church by being baptized, but we make a profession. We are all brought into the church by the work of God, the Holy Spirit, when he sealed us. When the Lord Jesus publicly received the Holy Spirit, we read in Matthew chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, "The Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.'" But when we read in Acts chapter 2, verses 2 and 3, the Spirit is described as a mighty rushing wind and cloven tongues of fire. In both instances, there was a sound and something that could be seen. With the Lord Jesus, the Spirit was like a dove, and then the voice of the Father was heard. The dove is a pure bird. It will not eat anything unclean. The Spirit of God is the Holy Spirit, and there was absolutely nothing in the Lord Jesus that had to be cleansed before he could abide on him. Then the Father's voice declared his delight and pleasure in him. But when the Spirit came down on the 120 disciples that were all together at that time, the sound was a rushing mighty wind, which filled all the house where they were sitting. Then appeared the cloven tongues of fire, which sat on each of them. The word for wind here could be translated breath, and is only used elsewhere in Acts chapter 17, verse 25, "Seeing he giveth to all life and breath." From that moment, the disciples were going to express a completely different life than they had previously. The Holy Spirit inside them was the power to do this. But the tongues of fire sitting on them would speak of the power that was to be seen outwardly as they were controlled by the Spirit. The thought behind sitting on them is to take possession and control of them. Just like when the Lord Chancellor commences proceedings in the House of Lords, he sits on the woolsack. He takes control of the house. The effect of this descent of the Holy Spirit was immediately apparent. We read in verse 4, "And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance." The Lord Jesus in the Gospel of John, chapter 15, verse 27, said, "And ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning." The very first effect of the Spirit was to do with God speaking to men. The disciples had been with the Lord Jesus and had a great deal to tell. God had the good news of salvation that he wanted everyone to hear. The Spirit gave these people the power to speak for God in the world, and the rest of this wonderful chapter tells us how successful they were. Let us today rejoice that we have the same Spirit who came down at the beginning of Christianity, and so we also are able to bear witness for God that can be as effective now as it was at the beginning.